Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Tyson Falk. He's a policy analyst with McDonald Carano. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Mary Lau, Sean Carey, and Robin Reedy. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Never back down, never back away. When you see somebody getting hurt, you have to stand up. Donald Trump is hurting Nevada families. He wants to take health care away from 200,000 Nevadans. He wants to break up families by deporting dreamers. He cares more about the NRA than you. I'll take on the NRA. I'll take on Big Pharma, and I'll take on Donald Trump. As governor, I'll stand up for Nevada and Nevada families.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Tyson Falk. He's a policy analyst with McDonald Carano. Pleasure to have you back on the program,
sir. My pleasure to be here, Sam, as always.
So let's talk about blockchain technology, because this has been sort of the buzzword for the last several months. And when people say to me, what is it? I've come up with a phrase, it's a sophisticated form of accounting, which I think answers the question for a lot of people because, you know, when you make a phone call, you just pick up the phone and you dial. You don't know how the phone works. And so we're better off, all of us, I think, for not knowing how the phone works. But with blockchain technology, what's the slightly more complicated version apart from it's a sophisticated form of accounting?
I think that you hit it on the head, actually, and I would say that, you know, it's ultimately just a, I would say, a new version of a database structure. Pretty much that's what it is. So it's ultimately software-based, and what it works on differently than other databases that we have is that it involves necessarily to be distributed amongst a lot of different nodes instead of it being housed in one central area.
Okay, so when you say different nodes, different computer structures around the country, around the world?
And it can be varied. I think that we can take a case of Bitcoin, for example. That's a public open blockchain. Anybody can have a node on the blockchain. Anybody can buy or sell Bitcoin. But you also have other things that are called permissioned. You can have private blockchains. You could have, for instance, all the hospital networks in the state of Nevada have access to a new form of database that has patients' medical records. It has the history of their prescriptions that they've been taking. And those can all be accessed by healthcare providers so long as that they meet the certain standards of which are required. However, and that's all can be set up depending on how you set up the blockchain, excuse me. So I think that it can go beyond just, it can be across the world, it can be maybe even in just a university system.
All right, so let's bring it down home. So say, for example, a company like mine that produces television programs, also is an advertising agency, is there a place for us with blockchain?
I would absolutely. I think in the content creation world, there's a lot of interesting applications for that. I'll use an example that I like, and it's a service that's called Steemit. It's, if anybody's familiar with what Reddit is, social media where folks create content and then it gets upvoted by the users of that. And the number one rated or the most upvoted usually gets to the top. So those are what's able to be seen. Now, in the case of Reddit, you might just get something that's called Reddit Gold, and usually that's a couple of little benefits that you get. Maybe a free subscription to Reddit, the premium version, or what have you. And those are given by random folks. Steemit, on the other hand, is actually assessing monetary value to those. So folks that are creating really interesting, you know, pieces of work or have a certain take on a topic that's well received, they're actually being paid in an actual cryptocurrency that can be converted to dollars, because there's value that can be ascertained with being able to advertise right on that content creation. So I think in that world, you're going to have a better chance to protect your content as it came through you. Anytime that it gets distributed, you could necessarily see where those channels were and how it got it, or how the public was able to access it. You're able to identify some monetary streams and be able to protect that copyright much better.
And what's interesting about what you're saying is the direction of the content industry is heading in one that the content providers control the content. In the past, you could buy, going back in time, a record album, a 45, a VHS video, a DVD, a CD, whatever. Now these companies want to protect their content by offering it as a streaming service for money, in which case you never actually own that content. All you continue to do is rent it or purchase it through the content provider.
Right. I think you're seeing that with pretty much everything. You're starting to see streaming services as opposed to being able to buy a hard copy that you're able to reuse and reuse and reuse. Because, frankly, I think in today's age, most people, they don't see the necessity to be able to hold digital hard copy mediums, but rather you can view it online, you can listen to it or what have you, and you can listen to it again, but you don't have to outlay that whole price for a particular CD. It's a very small cost. Instead of, you know, buying a $13 or $14 CD, you pay $10 a month, and then you get to listen to whatever that you want. Fascinating.
It is, but there's an irony there, which is, you know, our nonprofit provides money to libraries across the school to buy books for them, and we found a lot of support across the political world for putting money into libraries and actual books. But what we're seeing now is we've gone from a book to an ebook, from a record to a CD, and now it's available online. That gives incredible power in an evil world to the content provider, that they could stop giving, you know, whatever one considers positive and only send out negative. They would have absolute control over what you got to see, as against you going to a bookstore and being able to buy whatever you wanted.
Yeah, it is fascinating. And I think in terms of, let's take digital art. I think that this is a really good example. So folks that create work on their computers, right, that is really easy to duplicate and to share. For people to use, if you create a really nice visual image, you can download it and share it, and it's pretty cheap and free. But what is the value in that for the content creator? Rather, you know, these works take hundreds to thousands of hours of time, and it's very skilled individuals doing that. Blockchain, in a way, or what it can do is it can establish sort of provenance for these digital artworks, in that you can assure that only a person or maybe a certain set of individuals have access to that artwork. If you want to have, you know, a really nice moving display that you put on, you see them at like the Peppermill, right? They're really, really neat videos from across the world. You could create the sort of same little art, and by it being on a blockchain system, somebody buys access to use it for that certain amount of time, and if they don't want it, then they can resell it. The value in that is that you know that you have an original piece, as it were. It's not duplicated, it's not owned by anybody else. Therefore, the value increases, certainly for that content creator.
Last question on blockchain, and then we'll come back on a different topic. So if I want to use blockchain technology, who do I call?
You know, I would just start to look into figuring out how to buy a virtual currency. Bitcoin, there's Ethereum, there's 140 different cryptocurrencies, and they all either are not tied to anything, or some of them are tied to more token-based assets. But if you were to go and just figure out how to buy a Bitcoin and to purchase a wallet and be able to put a Bitcoin on your wallet, I think trial and error that you'll eventually figure it out that way. Instead of going and learning and reading books or what have you, going out and doing it is the easiest application.
Okay, but is there not an inherent danger when the value of cryptocurrency fluctuates so greatly?
I would say that we're all in a kind of a wait-and-see pattern right now. I think that there's a lot of regulatory uncertainty, certainly on the federal side. And Bitcoin has been volatile from day one. I think that it will continue to be volatile. And you might have other cryptocurrencies that will come out to be more stable than that. But I think until that we get some real clear and precise language from the Security Exchange Commission, that all of these things are going to be in flux. And anything time you have a bad news cycle, the value is going to go down. It's not stable enough, and it's not used by a broad enough population for it to be stable quite yet.
All right, so the buzzword will be two words, buyer beware.
That's a good way to put it.
All right, let's take a break. More with Tyson when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
We've made great progress over the past 4 years.
From building bridges
to building small businesses.
From homegrown entrepreneurs
and community pride
to new innovations.
From economic development
to future mayors.
We're a true beacon of success that continues to thrive. But we need to remember it's all about shaping our future for the next generation and meeting the challenges of tomorrow. I'm Hillary Sheevy, and I would appreciate your support on June 12th.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Tyson Falk. He's a policy analyst with McDonald Carano. So let's talk about question three. Your company is neutral on this issue, so you're probably one of the best people to talk to about this. We have two sides here. One, where folks are saying, you know, renewable energy, we need to open up the markets. You're seeing all these major corporations buying their way from the PUC out of the regulatory system we currently have in terms of NV Energy being the monopoly provider. On the other hand, you have NV Energy that remained neutral through the last legislative session but has now come out strongly with the backing of their parent corporation, Berkeley Hathaway, which I think a lot of people might be familiar with that name. To say, no, we want to be in this game. There are lots of problems facing the public if we go from this, you know, monopoly status where everybody's protected, we're the provider of last resort, your costs are going to go through the roof. So give us both perspectives, if you would. You know, let's take NV Energy's position first, and then let's take the other position.
Okay, yeah, sure. I think that NV Energy's position is certainly well taken well in that there's going to be a lot of work that's going to need to be done in the next 4 to 5 years.
And so through the legislature?
Through the legislature, absolutely. The legislature is going to be mandated with putting in these rules. They're going to be the ones that are have to sit through hundreds, thousands of hours of committee hearings to try to take in a lot of these different aspects. And I think the number one concern is how you're going to be, what's the provider last resort? For folks that are unable to even understand what shopping for your electricity is, to be able to go out and find that provider, who's going to protect that person that can't protect themselves?
And also the person that's at the end of the line. If you live in McGill, Nevada, outside of Ely, how do you ensure that you have a provider, which would be the provider of last resort?
Right. I used to live in Ely, so I understand the McGill reference well.
Boy, I just scored 18 points right there.
Right. And the interesting interplay in particularly those is a lot of those outside areas are served by cooperatives, right, rural cooperatives. And how do they play in this new structure as well?
And some are in favor and some are against. Valley Electric is against or is in favor of question three. Other cooperatives around the state are against it.
Yes. So I think that that's really interesting. I think that you're going to see the cooperatives that have a potential to be renewable energy generators, that they're certainly going to be in favor. I think that Valley Electric, being down in the Mojave Desert, their service territory, the Amargosa Valley, there's a lot of solar potential. So I think that they see that the opportunity to be more on the producing end rather than the utility end. So yeah, that's an interesting point.
One of the things that has been raised to me quite a bit, both by the power company and by private individuals who live in the Gray Eagle area, is the cost of electricity with renewables in California has gone up considerably. Is that, as you look at it, a realistic concern for consumers that if this goes through, that the power costs will rise for the average citizen?
I don't know if that can be the case or if it very well could be. However, I would say in 5 years, who knows where technological advancements will come. I think you're starting to see a lot of change in things that we didn't have before, as in residential storage. I think that that's a game changer. I think once you start having homes that can balance themselves over a 24-hour period, you're going to start to have different considerations than what we have now, where there's almost no storage. So every watt that's consumed right now has to be produced elsewhere. Once storage starts to being integrated more fully, I think that the technological limitations aren't going to be as constrained as they are right now. So I look at it in that respect too. Like there can be a lot that can change that would upset the current paradigm as well. So I don't know the answer of the costs or whether they will go up or whether they won't. I can say that we do have a really low cost for commercial energy right now. Our residential rates aren't as great, but in terms of for businesses, we're actually very competitive. And so will that change? It's yet to be seen.
Well, and when you look at the technological accomplishments that can occur over the next 3 to 5 years, this really is an ongoing situation. More to talk about in the future, but for today, that's where we've got to leave it. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't going to let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, Stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Mary Lau is here, President and CEO of the Retail Association of Nevada, political commentator Sean Carey, and Robin Reedy is Executive Director for NAMI, but also former Chief of Staff to Governor Gibbons. Pleasure to have you all here on the program. We're taping this so that people know on Monday the 11th, the day before the primaries. So let's talk about the primaries so far. We obviously don't know the results because we don't have that kind of gift. Mary, what is the number one thing that is sticking out to you across all these elections? What is on your mind?
Oh, I'm so done with these elections, Sam. I don't like the tone and tenor of the campaigns.
And what's different about this than every other?
You know, it's not different, but it's getting worse. We've said for so many years, what's the difference? I would love to have people discussing policy instead of personality. I would love to see people actually delving into who they want to vote for and why they want to vote for them instead of telling me what the latest soundbite is from whichever channel you're watching. I would love to see people start really investigating and thinking for themselves, and I am sick and tired of gotcha politics.
Sean?
I have to agree with you, Mary.
Sean, 100%. I love you.
This one's getting so ugly. And it's been so ugly, and the governor's race is going to be even worse.
Ugh.
I think I'll just go on and say it. I think Chris G is going to win tomorrow, and I think that the campaign between Laxalt and her is going to be horrific.
I would just like to see uplifting messages. I would like to see what people plan on doing, why they want to do it, whatever way they're suggesting. And an uplifting message. I think we have a lot to look forward to. And when you watch these commercials, you just feel like the world is going to end and no one's worth voting for.
All right. So all of that said.
That wasn't the answer you wanted.
No. It's you know what? I wasn't looking for a particular answer because I think that, you know, there's a huge difference between campaigning and governing. This has been going on a long time, and yes, I agree it's getting worse because there are lots more places where these messages can occur, but I just don't see it being that different than before. And plus, you know, do you see the average citizen paying any attention to a policy message?
Actually, no, not at this time, but what you see is people spouting something as if it's the truth without ever doing the research to know if it's the truth.
Okay, so Sean, what is the responsibility of the public? Because I think the average member of the public, who shockingly is just waking up in the last couple of weeks to the fact that there's an election on Tuesday.
I would like to see the American electorate get more involved and maybe take like an interest in what's going on, because that's the problem. We have all these people who are running as if they're perfect, and they're not perfect, and because they're humans. And the fact is the election is the perfect versus the good, and it's not good for the American electorate.
But it becomes frustrating for the public, I think, because there is a difference between campaigning and governing. And
a huge difference.
And I've always said that, you know, you campaign one way, but when you're elected, you represent everyone.
Correct.
But that's happening less and less in the governing side. They are really... you want them to fulfill their campaign promises, and they kind of are, and ignoring the other half. And I'm saying that from either side. You know, the D's get elected and they're pushing one way. The R's get elected, they're pushing one way. And they're ignoring the other half.
Mary, have you been doing polling on this cycle?
We've had some polling, but we did informational polling. We haven't done exit polling in a primary. We'll usually do exit polling in a general. So it's interesting because most of the polling that we had done is accurately being reflected now into campaigns.
And so what can we glean from that if you're not giving away too much information for what you
Well, no,
paid for?
Again, we were informational polling and internally polling to see where it was. But I will agree with Sean. I think Chris G ekes it out. I think, it's going to be Roberson is going to be okay, and whatever the other guy's name is, it's not going to upset him. And it's going to be a Duncan Ford race. And the only thing that nobody seems to be sure about yet is, where Oscarson and Hoff goes. So, and we were talking down in the green room. People from what's being said, but we are not polling in that area, so this is nothing more than rumoring, is that some of the people that Oscarson needs haven't shown up yet. So it'll be interesting on the GOTV by tomorrow.
I agree.
We're going to take a break. We're going to have you guys hold over to the next show, and we will continue this discussion when we come back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
The Reno Rodeo. Come celebrate 99 years. It's a tradition. June 14th through the 23rd. Get your tickets today.
On our next broadcast, Ty Cobb, former special assistant to President Reagan for National Security Affairs. We'll see you then.